This month on The Infinite Feel Revealed, our guest is Mike Dooley. Hi, I'm Sanav Kraft, your host of The Infinite Feel Revealed. Like me, you may remember Mike Dooley from The Secret. He's also the author of several best-selling books, including Thoughts Become Things and our feature for the April 2010 issue, which is Infinite Possibilities. Mike is also the founder and CEO adventurer of TUT, which stands for Totally Unique Thoughts. Sit back and join us as Mike Dooley reveals secrets from the infinite field. What is the infinite field to you?
The infinite field to me represents the fact that literally time and space springs from an eternal now. And that now, I guess if you would, is kind of spherical. It's like a ball. And in any moment, we could go in any direction. And in fact, there are an infinite number of directions that are possible from an eternal now. And the direction we do go in, individually and collectively, will always be a function of our thoughts, our beliefs, our expectations. All things are truly possible, and this is kind of what the infinite field means to me, that each perceived moment in time represents a brand new field of infinite possibilities, a brand new, if you will, eternal now.
So how did you come to live in the infinite field?
Well, we all live in the infinite field. We all came from it. We all live there now, and we will forever remain in the infinite field. I became aware that I was perhaps living in an infinite field. Gosh, as early as my teenage years, I fell into this kind of searching mode where I just wanted to know who we are, why are we here, why does one person become very successful and another person doesn't. My father used to listen to Earl Nightingale tapes because he was in the insurance sales business, and I would be mesmerized hearing Earl Nightingale speak about, you know, success and possibilities. And that huge craving for knowledge got greater and greater, and if you will, it got worse and worse to the point it was almost all-consuming. And when I was 18 years old as a freshman in college, all I could think about was life and death and why are we here and where do we go and what's the point of it. And when you have questions like that, when you have a yearning or a desire, there's always big wheels behind the curtains of time and space that start turning to bring you answers, to bring you what you're focusing on, to bring you what you need. You know, life is like that. It's accommodating. It takes care of you, whether it's money, confidence, love, a soulmate, health. If you're focusing on it and not focusing on its lack, and you've got an element where you believe it could happen to you, then immediately it starts happening to you. And it was, 18 years old when, the dots started being connected and light bulbs were turned on, either through books or teachings or intuition very often, sparks of spontaneous illumination, that I realized the truth about our divine, supernatural nature and heritage and the fact that we are creators.
What things have you experienced since living in the infinite field, or how has your world or your life changed?
Wow, it's funny because, you know, once we discover this stuff, we're usually so elated and so euphoric and so happy to find out God isn't an old white man with a long white beard who's really pissed off, that we think this newfound joy, maybe it's because we just watched The Secret or just read a book or whatever, we think this newfound euphoria for having discovered truth will change our life. But as I tell my audiences, it never does. You know, that's like kind of all of a sudden you know where the buried treasure lies, but that doesn't make you rich. You got to dig for it. You got to get down there. You got to do it. And it's the same with discovering the truth. It's not enough to discover the truth. You got to start living it, eating it, sleeping it, breathing it. You got to act as if you know you're a being of light for whom all things are possible, that the world and the universe conspires on your behalf. You got to put yourself out there. You got to walk it before you see it. You got to create this dream of world in your mind and pretend that you live there if you want the illusions to catch up. So I guess I discovered it in college, but I remember thinking, you know, I don't really use this stuff. It's really cool, and I got to start visualizing. But I was so busy with exams, and I had part-time work and financial aid, you know, trade-off stuff that I had to do, and I was like, I remember saying to myself, as soon as I graduate from college, I'm going to start using this stuff. But first, let me just survive college. And, you know, as soon as I got out of college, there was no time to do it. It's like life doesn't stop and say, okay, now it's time to get serious. You know, what happened for me was I got to the verge of being fired from my first job in the real world, the job at Price Waterhouse. I was petrified. I was scared. Everything went wrong. And it was by being driven by fear. It was from being driven by fear that I first made an attempt to sit down and visualize every single night when I got home from work. And boom, within 3 weeks, my life took a radical change for the better. I was transferred into a tax department. Within a year, I was transferred overseas. I was living in the Middle East. I was traveling from Hong Kong to Kathmandu to Beijing to Shanghai. It was like, ah, amazing. And suddenly, I found myself having breakfast one morning in Kowloon, Hong Kong, when I looked up from over my coffee to the two-story plate glass windows and saw before me the exact same view of Hong Kong Island that I had cut and pasted into a scrapbook 2 years earlier that I used as a visualization tool. That's how and when my life really changed. And then I used it to get back to the States and get assigned to an office in Boston, Massachusetts with Pricewaterhouse. Then I used it to launch a t-shirt gift line with my brother and mother. We sold $10 million. The three of us sold $10 million worth of our own line of t-shirts and gifts all over the world. We were in Japan and Hawaii and Europe on business every year. And then I used it as a writer. I use it in relationships. I use it if I have a sprained ankle. I use it, you know, it's made my life into a fairy tale. Not that I don't have challenges. Not that I don't feel frustration or impatience or anger like most people. But I'm having a good time as well, a very good time. And that's how it's affected my life.